Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Good to have you with us today. I'm Jeff Cavins. Joining me today to talk about parenting on the Rediscover Hour is Jean Stoppelstadt. She's the director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jeff, for having me on with you today.
We got a good show. We're going to be talking with Dr. Janet Smith about parenting today, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Ray Guarendi. So we got a lot of doctors on the show. And I think, you know, after talking to parents, they need some good insight.
Absolutely. In this day and age, we need as much support as we can to be vibrant, healthy families.
And this is what you're involved with in the Office of Marriage and Family. You've got both hands on the plow full-time, just helping families out, growing marriages and raising kids.
And it's such a privilege. What a great grace to see so many incredible families building our culture and furthering our society.
It's a great time. It's a great time. And you know, we have a great, great event taking place coming up in September. And your office, and we're going to talk more about this later in the show, but your office is very much involved with getting people to Philadelphia for this great event. Quickly, just tell us a little bit about what's going to happen.
Oh, the World Meeting of Families. This is an awesome event where persons from all over the world gather together in one place to talk about that which is so, so important to each of us, our families. And the Holy Father will be visiting us as well. It's an incredible event.
And you still got tickets available.
We do. The Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis will be making a pilgrimage, flying out to Philadelphia, spending the week, and then wrapping up the week with the Holy Father.
Well, you've had opportunities to meet popes before, to be part of the audience, and I have too with EWTN and covering Pope John Paul II. And I can't tell you how it changes your life just to be in the presence of the Pope and to listen to his message and to pick up on all that energy that's coming from around the world. And I would encourage you, you know, you're listening, you have kids, this might be the only opportunity that you ever have to bring your kids to Philadelphia, to bring them to a major city, to be a part of an event like this. They will never, ever forget it, will they?
Absolutely not. It is a moment of great grace and joy. Just the excitement and the vibrancy of persons standing next to each other, knowing that we are united in Christ and the Church.
Well, it was once said, as the family goes, so goes the world. And the future really runs through the family. And that's part of this whole show, the Rediscover Hour and the Office of Marriage and Family Life and Evangelization and Catechesis, which is the office that I direct. And together with Jean Stoppelstadt, we are really, really trying to teach, to raise up a generation of young Catholics that can really make a difference in the world. And that difference is oftentimes decided on how those kids are parented. What kind of models do the parents provide for not only personal holiness, but what a family really is. And I think we've kind of lost sight of that in our world today.
Absolutely. And you just really nailed it when you said our kids need those models of holy mothers and fathers and strong mothers and fathers. And that's why I'm really looking forward to our chat with our guests today, because they have so much experience to share with each of us.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We're going to be talking in just a couple minutes with Dr. Janet Smith about parenting today. And then a little bit later on, we're going to talk to Dr. Ray Guarendi. And I hope, as a result of this show, that you will receive some real nuggets of truth, not just to kind of stimulate your thinking, but some nuggets of truth that you can put into practice, and you will see a change in your family. You know, as kids, kids have been given to us by the Lord. And, you know, literally, the Lord lends us these children to take care of them and to nurture them and to provide an example. And, you know, we just only have so much time with them. And then our role changes. And I'm kind of in between both of those right now. I have a 30-year-old daughter, and I also go all the way down to 16 years old. And so I'm on both ends of that spectrum. And I know that the time goes so quickly. It goes so quickly. It was, just seems like, you know, yesterday that we drove our oldest Carly to Steubenville, where she ended up going into nursing. And today she's 30 years old and has two kids. And time just goes by. We're going to take a break in a moment, but before we do, I just want to remind you of one scripture from Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it." And that's a powerful scripture. And, you know, sometimes I think we interpret that this way. Your child is like a blank hard disk. Write anything you want to it. And when they grow older, that's exactly what they're going to do. But that's not what the scripture says. You know, in Hebrew, it says that you should train up a child in the way that they are going. In other words, a parent looks at the gifts. They look at the great treasure that God has created here. They start to notice something about that child, and they begin to train that child and lead that child down that what I would call gifted way. And when that child really walks into that vocation and their calling in life, they're not going to turn from it. And so parents become observers, and it's like opening up a treasure or a gift on Christmas. What has God given us in these beautiful children? Let's train them up in the way that God wants them to go, and when they grow old, they'll not depart. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Stick with us. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Janet Smith about parenting, and I could say grandparenting too. We'll be back in a moment.
During the golf season, golfers try to find a golf course that's fun to play, easy to get to, and lets you make tee times weeks in advance. Deer Run Golf Club would like to invite Relevant Radio listeners to come and enjoy their golf course this season. Deer Run Golf Club in Victoria continues to be one of the top 20 public golf courses in Minnesota, with just the right amount of challenge and charm for golfers at every level. People often say it's more fun at Deer Run. The staff will go out of their way to make you feel welcome. Each golf cart at Deer Run now has the ProLink GPS system to help improve your score. The great conditions at Deer Run mean you'll play your best. Best of all, there's still time to buy prepaid rounds and save up to 30%. Visit DeerRunGolf.com or call 952-443-2351 to make a tee time. Deer Run, just south of Lake Minnetonka, off Highway 5 in beautiful Victoria.
Remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Joining me today is a co-host, a wonderful co-host, Jean Stoppelstad, and it's good to have you with us talking about parenting.
What an amazing topic. In the previous segment, you mentioned about raising our children up in the way they should go, mm-hmm. and sometimes that can be really intimidating for parents. These little ones do not come with an instruction manual.
They don't. I remember the first child, Carly, when we brought her home from the hospital, we put her in the crib, and I looked at her, then I went over into my room, laid down on the bed, looked at the ceiling, and thought, what have I done? You know, I have this little life depending on me now for at least the next 20 years or so. Well, joining us today is Dr. Janet Smith, and Dr. Janet Smith holds the Father Michael McGivney Chair of Life Ethics at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. And we were just out there not too long ago. She's the author of Humanae Vitae, A Generation Later, editor of Why Humanae Vitae Was Right, A Reader, and she has co-authored Life Issues, Medical Choices, Questions and Answers for Catholics for years. She's also an international speaker, and she is serving on her third term as consultor to the Pontifical Council on the Family. Dr. Smith will be speaking in the Twin Cities. That's going to be coming up on April 16th at the Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture, and that's going to be at the University of St. Thomas. Dr. Smith, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Hey, good morning.
I haven't talked to you for quite a while. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Wonderful. Well, you're going to be coming out to the Twin Cities on April 16th, and we're talking about parenting today, but what are you going to be talking about when you come to the Twin Cities?
Well, the title of my talk is The Real Meaning of Responsible Parenthood. And it's a term that shows up in very prominently in Humanae Vitae. And I think it's the meaning there, what people take from there, I think are legitimate, that you should be responsible about how many children you have, and you should, of course, develop the virtues that are needed to be a good parent. Both of those things are clear meanings of a phrase. But John Paul II actually had a very unusual phrase that I think has been mistranslated as responsible parenthood, and the Latin words actually appear in Humanae Vitae. I hope that's not too complicated, but the phrase that John Paul II uses is actually conscious parenthood, conscious. Huh. And the Latin is conscia paternitas, mm-hmm. and that's been regularly translated as responsible parenthood. I did myself when I translated Humanae Vitae, but years later, when I went back to read Love and Responsibility, I saw that John Paul II has a very beautiful understanding of that phrase. And he really uses it as the absolute center of his sexual ethics.
Uh-huh.
Meaning this. It's a simple thing to say. As I say to my students, you shouldn't have sex unless you're prepared to be parents. Mm-hmm. And you're not prepared to be parents unless you're married.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a simple truth. I mean, it can be expanded and go into great depths, but a responsible person should be conscious of the fact that sex leads to babies.
Mm-hmm.
I always said I wanted this tattooed on people's foreheads or something, that sex leads to babies, so that people don't forget this. And think of how the world would change if people understood that sex leads to babies. It would radically change most people's sexual lives, at least between the ages of, you know, like 15 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, in thinking that, again, you say, well, obviously sex leads to babies. So he actually says sex leads to parenthood, which is even more fascinating.
Sure.
Sex leads to parenthood. So he says, those who are thinking of embarking upon a sexual life need to ask themselves, am I prepared to be a parent? Could I be a good parent? And most people really do want to be good parents. So mm-hmm. if you ask a young person, can you see yourself being a parent someday? They kind of, you know, look a little quizzically like, well, yeah, I suppose. And would you want to be a good parent? Well, yes, I do. Well, what would you like to do with your children? What would you like to have to give your children? Are you ready to do that now?
Right. Well, you speak about conscious parenting and being prepared to be a parent. If you're going to engage in sexual activity in marriage, which is where that belongs, you have to be prepared to be a parent. And like you said, and Jean said in the opening, there isn't an owner's manual per se. What would you say to young parents who are coming to you and saying, how do I learn about this? I want to become a better parent. Give me some basic direction here.
Well, I think you're going to get that from Ray Guarendi. what you get from me is philosophy.
Okay.
I always tell people I talk like a know-it-all and I act like a know-it-all, but I don't really know it all.
Give us what you know.
Yeah, I'll give you what I know. Again, within marriage, I've seen this happen at my talks. When I talk about the fact that God has chosen parents to be cooperators or co-creators with Him in bringing forth a new human life, and God has chosen them to bring forth a new life that will have an eternal soul, that God wants to be with Him for an eternity, and that their job as parents is to do their best to prepare the child to make the choices that will help that child get to eternity. That's much what James said somewhat at the beginning here. And to be conscious of that. I actually have a brother who I believe is. He has six kids, and I think pretty much every morning when his feet hit the floor, he thinks, my job today is to protect these kids from this world, this crazy, crazy world in which they exist, from all the evil influences of the media, the entertainment world, the school systems, is to help them learn how to love their Lord and to love their church and not to make mistakes that would derail them for a very long time from their path to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that has to be conscious for parents. He's very conscious of that. And when you're conscious of that, that's where you seek out people like Ray Guarendi. And that's when you go to family life conferences, when you say, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
But John Paul II was consciousness, that people have to have this in their consciousness. They need to know this is who they are, and this is what they've been called to do.
Right.
Janet, in your experiences of all of your studies and travels and encounters with families across the world, around the world, what would you say is the single most important message of faith that parents need to transmit to their children?
Well, I think it is that Jesus can be with them every minute, every second of their existence, that they're never alone. They're never alone anywhere where they're trying to make a difficult decision or anyone's trying to push them to do something that they know is wrong. And so the phrase, what would Jesus do, is okay, but a better phrase is, what would Jesus want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, he's here with me. And this is to learn how to pray, is to learn how to know that Jesus loves them and he's not judging them harshly ever. Every moment he's trying to help them. And if you turn to Jesus and say, what should I do now? How should I handle the situation? There's something here that's kind of unnerving me. How do I do it? Or even the bigger choices of life. Should I be married? Should I go to this school or that school? Should I pursue this career or that career? Just learn a habit of prayer and learn a habit of prayer. Reading scripture. The family should do that together. The family should put aside time probably every night to read at least, a small portion of scripture. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend who did this with his children every day during, I think it was Lent, maybe Advent. But he had kids, wide range, kids 5 down to 19 or something, 5 up to 19. And we have an appropriate question for each one, like, what animal did Jesus ride into Jerusalem? Well, 5 rows of a donkey. Well, good. All right. Well, and the other kid, you say, well, why was he so hated? And so they're able to bring out that information. So having the kids participate in kind of a family reading of scripture and say, we need to know who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we won't be able to be in the kind of intimate relationship we need with him.
Well, you nailed it right on the head there, Dr. Smith. We're actually going to be launching a campaign here to get fathers to start reading the Bible to their kids every day and read for about 10 minutes. And it's about a 6-month program that goes through the narrative portions of Scripture, kind of similar to The Great Adventure, but we're really looking forward to it. And what you're saying really, really bears witness with what we're experiencing here. If you just joined us, we're talking with Dr. Janet Smith about parenting. Dr. Smith, you have really become the go-to person when we talk about Humanae Vitae. But a couple of things. One, that's a document from quite some time ago. It has a foreign title. A lot of our listeners now might not know anything about Humanae Vitae, that very small document. Can you just give us a very brief synopsis of what that document had to say and how that bears on parenting today?
Well, again, it was written by Pope Paul VI, but it was written in 1968, very controversial. It was a time when the culture was just going crazy. It's gone beyond crazy now, but where it was, accepting contraception, accepting premarital sex, very quickly after that, accepting abortion, which was a total logical conclusion of allowing, accepting premarital sex. And so that document was trying to express the beauty of marriage and the purpose and meaning of marriage. And it wasn't all about contraception. Mm-hmm. It really was all about what it means to be in a loving, committed marital relationship. So it talks about different features of sex that it's meant to be the marital relationship is supposed to be faithful and fruitful and human. And these wonderful phrases. But the phrase in there that might be the most dramatic one, I do believe came from John Paul II, says that the unitive and the procreative meanings of the sexual act cannot be separated. So a lot of people thought, well, as long as we're trying to achieve union in our sexual act, it's okay if we sacrifice the procreative possibility. And what John Paul II is saying, Pope Paul VI repeated, was that you can't achieve the unitive fully without respecting the procreative. And I try to tell people there's a huge difference between saying to a person, I want to have sex with you. And unfortunately, that's what our people think union means, I want to have a physical one flesh union with you. Whereas the church means by union, I want to express to you my commitment to be with you in a lifetime relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I want to affirm you as the person I have chosen from all others to be the person with who I am going to day by day live my life, make my choices together with you, try to seek holiness with you. That's the unitive meaning. Now, the procreative meaning says that, because when you say, I want to have sex with you, that means just about nothing. When I say, I'm willing to be a parent with you, that's just what it means.
Mm-hmm.
I affirm you. I want you in my life. I want you in my life for the rest of my life. I want the two of us to go together, making decisions together. So the procreative meaning and the unitive meaning, in a certain sense, are one. They mean the same thing. But when you take babies out of the picture in the sexual act, you are saying, I only want a portion of this act. I want the physical pleasure of the act, but I don't want the possibility of a child that, in fact, speaks our willingness to be lifetime partners with each other.
Is that somehow communicated in a family that people are using birth control, even if they don't state exactly what you just said there? Is it nonverbally communicated in some way to the rest of the family?
Well, Pope Paul VI says that in, I think it's Humanae Vitae, it's in the 20s, 21 or 25 or 23, something like this. But he certainly says that young people pick it up when their parents are not contracepting, so it seems the opposite would be true. He says there's a certain peace that comes into the family. The parents have self-mastery. They have gained control over their sexual desires and put those desires in service of the good, in service of the family. So their sexual life is not now driven by when they happen to feel passion. Certainly that's part of it. That should be a huge part of it. But then the question is, as all our questions about passion have to be in this world, is this a good time to act on that or not?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the parents are exercising control in that respect, then they can much more expect it from their children. I have a single friend now who's dating, and she hasn't had the best sexual discipline in her life, but she's a single mother with four children, and she has not had a good track record for sexual discipline. But she's now a very devout Catholic, and I don't know that she's still acquired the self-discipline that she needs, but she knows that she needs it, and she keeps, whenever we talk about her, she's in this very intense relationship with a man who seems like he might be a good spouse for her, but that she needs to exercise the control that she expects her children to exercise when they start dating. And she says, is that hard? And I said, oh, yeah, that's hard. But she said, so when you're with him and you're about to do something, you have to ask yourself, would I want my 17-year-old daughter to be doing this same thing? And so those who achieve self-mastery and living by the Church's teaching on contraception and sexuality allows a person to achieve self-mastery. How could she speak to her daughter except as a hypocrite if she doesn't do it herself?
Right.
And it's harder to speak to her daughter. She just feels I can't expect of her what I can't expect of myself. So if parents are living this chastity within marriage, they're living chastity within marriage, then they can much more easily shape their children to live chastity before they get married.
Mm, that's good stuff. Very good stuff. Dr. Smith, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you for your kind of your insight. There's so many obstacles in the culture today to parenting. And I'm thinking of the obstacles both inward and outward. And the inward obstacles to parenting, I think that you addressed that with your talks on Humanae Vitae. But what would you say, real quickly, what are the obstacles inward obstacles to parenting, and what are the outward obstacles to parenting from your observation?
Well, the inward ones are the ones we all have. It's just simply to live by the standards that we want our children to live by. Mm-hmm. That's a great standard. We have beautiful, how many parents start engaging in charitable activity because they want their children to be charitable? How many, you just on and on. You start having a better prayer life, other things, because you want your children to have this. And so all of that is saying inside, am I living the life that I would choose for my children? Outwardly, it's, one of the very simple things is get rid of the TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those that think that, especially these days where you can get on and get, Netflix and Amazon Prime, where you can on demand watch any movie that you think is worth it to watch and that sort of thing. And even past TV shows that you think are good shows for your children to watch, you can get them online. I would just not want that the children to be able to turn on TV and watch any, even sports, you can streamline them or go over to somebody else's house and just have a good party with somebody if you want to watch Notre Dame play something. But yeah, and they'll be glad to have you. Everybody loves to have a party. Bring the food. They'll be glad to have you. So I just think get it out of the house. And you'll find so many more family things to do. It's playing games and going for walks and playing sports outside with each other. And once you get that out of your house, the freedom to pursue all the other things that family should be pursuing is immense.
That's great. Well, we're looking forward to having you in the Twin Cities. That's coming up April 16th at the University of St. Thomas. You're no stranger to the Twin Cities here. And you're going to be speaking at the Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture. Are you going to be there, Jean?
Absolutely, I am.
Fantastic. So thank you so much. We'll be posting that online, Dr. Smith, and we look forward to seeing you in person.
Very good. Thanks for this conversation.
Thank you. That's Dr. Janet Smith talking about parenting. Stay with us because when we come back in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with Dr. Ray Guarendi. We're going to ask him some tough questions about parenting. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover.
I'm Carrie Becker. If you'd like to make changes or additions to your home, I hope you'll call us.
In the past year, I've had Becker Building and Remodeling doing some new construction and some updating of my home. And I needed a company that I could trust with my project. After putting it off for way too long out of fear of making a mistake, I am so happy that I finally chose Carrie Becker and his crew to make my improvements. The fact that Becker Building and Remodeling have been sponsors of my favorite radio station for more than 6 years, it gave me confidence that they were reliable, thorough, and we had our faith in common. I am so happy with the work they've done. I've recommended them several times. If you need to update, remodel, or build something new, I hope you will contact Becker Building and Remodeling.
Keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith. Becker Building and Remodeling, 612-363-0493. A Catholic-owned business you can trust.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins along with Jean Stoppelstedt, and we're talking about parenting today. Just had a great conversation with Dr. Janet Smith. Good advice.
Excellent advice. I really appreciated how she pointed out to us that our parenting needs to be intentional, mm-hmm. that good children, healthy children, vibrant children do not happen accidentally on their own, that we have to be intentional and model the behaviors we want our children to possess.
You know, I think that this whole idea of conscious parenting, that's what spoke to me. And I know that as a father, sometimes, you know, when you're like you, you're coming home from work. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we come home from work, we walk into the house unconsciously. It's kind of like, okay, I'm done for today. And I'm going to just relax and watch the news and have dinner. And you kind of, you know, I can speak from a man's perspective. I kind of check out in some ways. It's like my wife will say, well, we need to tend to this or tend to that. So, you know what, honey, I'm done today.
Exactly. Put in my time.
Yeah. But the truth of the matter is I'm just beginning.
Absolutely.
In fact, I'm just beginning my real vocation as a father.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's so many things we can do on the drive home that can prepare us for that kind of re-entry into our vocations.
You have any little tricks you do?
Well, I know on the way home, a lot of times I might spend a little quiet time and think about my family, mm-hmm. think about my husband, think about all of those things that attracted me to him in the first place, and just thank God for that. Or I might think about my kids and the day that they have had, who may have just completed a very difficult test or is preparing for sports or whatever it is so that I can reconnect with them about their day.
You know, I've used a little exercise in my life over the years, and I didn't think it up. I think I got it from somebody years ago or a book. And that was that on the way home to turn off the radio. I mean, here in the Twin Cities, and you just turn the radio off. And don't turn, of course, relevant radio off. If you're listening, just turn it down.
Right.
but when you're on the way home, you have to go into this reentry phase where you think, okay, I'm a father. I've got some kids at home. Maybe they've had a tough day. Maybe Emily's had a difficult day. What can I do when I get home to be a servant? You know, how can I be attentive to their needs and put myself second?
Exactly.
You know, I just finished a book on suffering called When You Suffer. And in there, I constantly talk about not so much the big ticket items, you know, of cancer and the loss of a loved one and you lose your job, whatever it might be. But I like to talk about what I would call a less than ideal day, you know, where today just didn't work out the way I thought it would, you know, my ideal day. And when I go home, sometimes my family can pay for that.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got an opportunity to love them and to offer this up and to walk as Christ walked, to love as Christ walked, to love as he loved, and to treat my family with that love in that respect. But like Janet was saying, that takes real conscious effort. It doesn't just come out of me naturally. I wish it did. But
right.
But the more I do it, the easier it is. It's like a virtue, you know, walking in that. And boy, I'd really encourage you. You know, you're listening to the show right now, and you're thinking to yourself, I really do want to become a better parent. If you need to really stay in touch with the Office of Marriage and Family here in the Archdiocese. Now, they're not going to solve all of your problems. Gene will solve most of them for you, but not all of them. But Gene, you have so many opportunities throughout the year. You're not the one that is teaching everyone in the Twin Cities. It's not solely your responsibility, but you're giving them tools. You're giving them opportunities, right?
Absolutely. We know that it's difficult to grow in faith and to be the parents and to be the spouse that we desire to be. We know that our world doesn't always naturally uphold marriage and family life. Mm-hmm. And so we try to connect with as many people as possible to provide opportunities for couples and for families to experience the truth and joy that the church provides for them. As a matter of fact, this Friday, tonight, we are going to be beginning our Live Family Expo, which is kind of a precursor to the World Meeting of Families. And we're having in Curtis Martin.
Good friend of the show.
Yeah, isn't he amazing? And he is the founder, of course, of Focus Campus Ministries. But he is going to be speaking about mission families, that our families, rooted in Christ and couples together, lead their families on a great mission into a deeper relationship with our Lord so that we can be the people we are called to be and our families filled with peace and joy, real possibility, then become beacons of hope and light for our culture.
I love the way you put that. Well, I oftentimes will put it this way, that our family becomes the stage on which the world sees the faithfulness of God and the love of God. Well, you could not have picked a better speaker than Curtis Martin for tonight at this expo. So tell us more about the expo. Where is it going to be? How do they get down there?
Oh, awesome. Yeah, no, the expo is tonight. It starts at 5:30. The doors open for registration. Bishop Cousins is going to be celebrating Mass for us.
Wonderful.
He is so inspiring, as is just the Mass itself and our Lord present in the Eucharist. Then there will be a little reception, and Curtis will be speaking. Then on Saturday, tomorrow, the doors again will open at 8 a.m. and for Mass, and we're going to have Father Thomas Loyes. He will be speaking on the meaning and purpose of marriage, some of the difficulties that we experience in marriage. Dr. Peter Damgaard Hansen.
Oh, he's great.
He is going to be talking about couples communications. Mm-hmm. We have both local and international speakers addressing how our families and our parishes can build a strong culture of marriage and family
life. So this is going to be a big deal.
This is a big deal.
That's tonight. Now, where is it at?
It's at St. Raphael's in Crystal.
Easy to get to.
Yes, it certainly is. And if you need a little more information, call the office, the Marriage Family Life office, or visit www.archspm.org.
All right. Well, listen, if you're parenting or you're grandparents and you're thinking to yourself, I really need to know more about parenting. I need a new skill set here, because as Jean so well said at the beginning, your kids didn't come with an instruction manual. And so you're kind of looking up at God saying, well, what do you want me to do? Well, that's what this expo is about. This expo is about helping to equip you to be the parent that deep down inside you know God wants you to be. But I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you in this way, that if you in the last 6 months have asked yourself, the question, how can I be a better parent or grandparent? This expo is for you. And I want you to do something with me. I want you to think for a moment and pray about your friends, your family, your sister, your brother, your cousins, your uncle, whoever it might be, colleagues at work. Who in your life could use an expo like this? Who in your life could really, really take advantage of someone like Curtis Martin and his wisdom in the family really becoming a witness? So I want you to think about that, pray about it, and then give them a call. Tell them you'll pick them up. Tell them that you'll make sure that they get there and you'll take care of that for them. But this might be an opportunity for you to evangelize. It might be an opportunity for you to bring along somebody in your life that normally wouldn't go to a conference or seminar. But you know what? Their kids' lives, their grandkids' lives are on the line. And oftentimes that motivates us, doesn't it? It motivates us to where we want to become a better man of God, a better woman of God, better parents. And I want to hear in the weeks ahead, who did you bring and what happened? We'd love to hear those testimonies. So that's coming up tonight. Once again, that's at, give us all the details, that's in Crystal.
It's at Crystal at St. Raphael's Catholic Church. Doors open at 5:30.
5:30. And then, so Curtis Martin's going to be here tonight. And then, of course, tomorrow. Boy, I pray for a great success there. I know you put a lot of hard work into that. And that's what there's so many good things happening in the Archdiocese. And right now we're focusing on parenting. We're focusing on the family. And Jean is doing a great job. So look forward to hearing the great stories that come out of your visit. Well, I want to, just before we take a break, I wanted to mention to you something that was very important in Scripture, just something to remember, and that is that before the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River to go into the Promised Land, Moses said something to them very, very important in Deuteronomy 6. He said, if you're going to cross that river and you're going to go into the land of Canaan and you're going to have success over there, I want you to know something. There's two things. Number one, they want your sons and daughters. The Canaanites want your sons and daughters, but there's something that you can do to prevent that and to raise a healthy family over there in Canaan. Number one, Moses said, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You need to live your life as parents, as though there's only one God, not multiple gods, not a God of sports and a God of power and a God of politics, not a God of Hollywood. But there's only one God, and your children need to see that witness, that there's only one God. Second thing Moses told them, if you're going to be successful over in that land, you must teach your children. As Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young said way back in the 60s, teach your children. Teach your children. And that's what you need to do, is teach your children. And that's something you have to be conscious about every single day. If you don't teach your children and you don't live your life as though there's only one God, you're going to be a false witness, number one. And number two, somebody else is going to teach your children. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back with Dr. Ray Guarendi right after this. Rediscover.
Do you know a special boy or girl receiving their first Holy Communion this year? Then we'd like to invite you to shop at Holy Cross Books and Gifts. You'll be surprised to see quality First Holy Communion apparel and gifts at great prices. We carry a variety of wonderful accessories too. Come and find an attractive selection of jewelry, cross pendants, medals, tie tacks, rosary bracelets, and much more. We carry many gift items appropriate for their special day, as well as invitations and paperware. You will discover great quality and save money when you shop at Holy Cross Books and Gifts. Grow in faith, share a blessing. In our 9th year of serving God's people, Holy Cross Books and Gifts is on the border of Apple Valley and Lakeville. Call 952-953-6330 or visit us on the web at holycrossbooks.com.
Today I can see, oh, today I can see, my, for the very first time, I wave goodbye, bye.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, joined by Gene Stolpelstedt, who is the fine director of the Office of Marriage and Family here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. We're talking about parenting. Teach your children well. That's what we're talking about today. And right now we've got the opportunity to talk to Dr. Ray Guarendi, longtime friend of Relevant Radio, longtime friend of mine. And we want to fire a few questions out at him about parenting and raising kids in these difficult times. He's the father of 10. He's a clinical psychologist, an author, public speaker, and nationally syndicated radio and television host. His great show, The Doctor Is In, can be heard weekdays. And he's also really well known for chickening out on the Polar Plunge with me close to a decade ago. Dr. Guarendi, good to have you with us.
Well, first of all, the problem with you guys on the Polar Plunge is that you want to just jump in the water. I wanted to go straight through a foot pack of ice, and you guys didn't want to do it.
Oh, you didn't get the memo. That's exactly what we did, head first.
Head first?
Yeah, and that explains a few things. I know you're going to say that.
No. Hey, I'm a shrink. Jeff, you had to be born that way. No ice could do that much damage.
Hey, it's good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you for quite a while.
Forever. How old's your daughter now?
Well, my oldest is 30, and the others are 18 and 16. Jackie?
When I met you, you were 30.
Yeah, and you were 60. How's it been going? You've got 10 beautiful kids. How's the family going?
Well, I got some children going to serve the church and some going to serve time, you know?
Uh-huh. Okay. I wasn't expecting that, but okay. I suppose if you have 10 children, you're going to end up with all kinds of outcomes. Hey, that actually, by the way, Jean Stolpelstedt is with us today. She's the director of Marriage and Family Life here.
Hi, Jean.
Hi, Ray. It's so nice to have you with us today.
I think we talked before.
Oh, we have. We've met on a few occasions, and it's always been a pleasure.
Thanks.
You know, speaking of 10 children, and they all kind of turn out a little bit differently, I'm supposing that and assuming that you probably raised them all pretty much the same. What explains such a diverse outcome? I know a lot of parents, they get frustrated with that. I say, we did the same with all 6 of them, but this one's this one's that. And what do you say to them?
We've got this idea, Jeff and Gene, that there's a formula, and especially among religious parents, I call it spiritual correctness.
Mm-hmm.
Their view is, if they just do the spiritually good things, you pray the rosary in Aramaic while you levitate,
you read
the lives of all the saints in the original languages, you go to Mass during the week, then of course your children should just imbibe the faith, embrace the faith, and smoothly develop through life. Mm-hmm. That is not the way it is. Unfortunately, it's good to do those things. However, it doesn't guarantee anything, and I think people expect that there is a formula where they did all the right things. And why is this child left the church?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this child living with his girlfriend?
Right.
Why is this child in another denomination? I did the right thing. They feel like they're failures.
Right.
I can't tell you how widespread that phenomenon is. And I'm going to give you a proof in a few minutes on how parents can get over those feelings of guilt.
Okay. So, give it to us.
All right. I got 5 questions for you. If you would please just answer yes or no.
All right.
Ready?
The interview has turned around here. Go ahead.
That's it. Is there a God?
Yes.
Is Christ God?
Yes.
Was he sinless?
Yes.
Yes.
Could he perform miracles?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Did he have a perfect understanding of human nature?
Yes.
Could he get most people to follow him?
No.
you snuck up on me there.
God man. You think you're better? That's my tell parents. Are you better than the God man?
That's a good point. No, the answer is no to that final one.
That's right. I tell them, I say, you know, you can't perform miracles. You can't even do a crummy card trick. So the idea that somehow, some way, I should have these children turn out exactly what I had hoped, and if I don't, I'm a failure. If I don't, I better scour my past. If I don't, I better preach to them when they're 24 years old and they don't want to come over and see me anymore because I'm always saying things like, well, did you baptize the baby? Well, you know, we have a new priest and he's really, really nice. Do you want to go with me? We have a spaghetti dinner afterwards. And the kid looks at you like, back off, Mom.
That's good.
And so I'm telling folks, and the other thing, guys, this is not 150 years ago. This is not everybody's living on a farm or something similar, and the only influence on those kids is 82% mom and dad. That's not the way it is. This culture is toxic and godless,
yeah.
And it's seductive as all get out, and it's pulling a lot of young adults away. Now, the good news is, and I tell this to parents, you laid a base. You did what God asked you to do, and if they leave that base, after they go out into the real world and they find out their way and the world's way doesn't work real well, then they've got something as an alternative that you put in place.
Right. Well, let me give you some rapid fire questions. We don't have a whole lot of time, but I know that you don't need a lot of time to explain some of these. But let me bring up some topics, and you just give us what comes to mind from your experience with families and your show on what you would say to parents if they just ask the simple question. Okay. You ready?
What? I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay. Computers.
Monitor them beyond what you can even imagine.
Okay. Any suggestions on that? Is there any software that you use? Do you allow them in the bedroom?
There's all kinds of software, and what stuns me, Jeff and Gene, is that I can't tell you how many Catholic parents don't do it. Because they trust their kids.
Mm-hmm.
They think, well, my child's not going to do that. He's got a moral base. He wouldn't do that. I don't have to have a screening device on my computer. And I tell them, yes, you do.
I agree with that 100%. So many even really, really good kids accidentally even encounter really devious and diabolical things on their computers.
Yep.
Through no fault of their own.
Well over 75% adolescent boys have been on porn sites.
Isn't that something? Sleepovers. Yeah. Sleepovers.
Well, I know the person. I called them and I talked to them and they seemed like such a nice lady and she was really good. And I said, what do you know about her? What do you know about her daughter or her daughter's friends or the neighbor boy who's going to come over? I simply say you're wise as a parent. To limit any sleepover.
Yep.
You know as well as you know yourself.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more there. Cell phones.
No! Cell phones are probably the biggest thing that parents underestimate their power of. Most parents give kids cell phones anywhere between 9 and 13.
Right, I know it. I see it all the time.
Insanity. Insanity. Even if the kids don't go places on the internet that they're not supposed to go, it becomes their life. It becomes their world, especially girls. They can fall in love with some 13-year-old boy that becomes the center of their world, and mom and dad don't even know this kid exists.
Right. Used to be you'd have to sit out on the front porch.
Yes. Not now. Cell phones are not your friend. I tell parents, okay, you're going to get them a cell phone. Why do they have to have the latest with complete internet access? Well, I'm not mom. There's no way I'm going to use one of those flip phones. That's like Neanderthal.
He's been in our house.
It's incredible. And I'll tell you, virtually every parent I've ever dealt with, in therapy or out of therapy, has been burned by the cell phone.
Yeah, I hear you. High school spring break.
Don't let them go anywhere. What are you doing? I would say college spring break. Don't let them go anywhere.
Yeah, I hear this all the time. These kids are, you know, well, we're going to South America with, you know, 11 other kids. What's wrong? We won't do anything wrong.
Yeah. I live in North Canton. For my spring break, I got to go to Canton. 8 miles south. You know what it is? You know what you guys are touching on?
Yep.
You're touching on how dramatically parents are underestimating now the cultural forces.
Mm-hmm.
When they look at a kid who's 20 or 21 or 22, and they say, why did he think like that? I never taught him those things. How does he view morality that way? Why? I say, I know you didn't. I believe you. You underestimated the forces that did.
Mm-hmm. What about cable TV?
We have probably, I don't know, 50 channels on our cable. Most people have 500. You know, what are our kids going to tell their kids? When I was a boy, we only had 500 channels. That's all we had when I was a boy, and we were grateful, happy children.
And it was only in color. It wasn't 3D.
Right. That's exactly right. None of this virtual reality when I was a boy. You better have a screening device on it. You can get blockers. And I would say to most parents, you kind of got to know, especially the younger kids, you know, the under the 12, 13, 14 range, you really got to know what's coming at them. You
right.
just can't assume you're going to give them the remote and they're going to occupy themselves for 3 hours, because they'll just imbibe stuff. And they may look at it and say, well, I'm not going to do that. But on the other hand, it is infusing their mind.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Ray, we got about a minute left. Your number one piece of advice to good parenting. Number one.
Love them with all your might and discipline them with all your strength.
Okay.
Excellent advice.
Where can people get in touch with you, Dr. Ray?
You go to drray.com, drray.com. Everything's there.
All right.
I use a Jeff, I don't know if you do this. I use kind of a picture that's a younger version of me. It's my communion picture. And people are saying, you need to update your picture. I'm going to put my senior picture up there pretty soon.
Yeah, you. And I'm going to put the one of me doing the polar plunge with you absent back up there.
Ooh, that's a frightening view there, Pop.
Hey, it's good to talk to you again, and can't recommend your program enough. And you've been a good friend, and you give great advice. So God bless you and your family.
Thank you guys so much.
Dr. Ray Guarendi. You can go to his website. It's very easy. Dr. Ray, drray.com. And Gene, it's been so good to have you on the show with us today. And I'm looking forward to the big expo. And once again, that's tonight. Curtis Martin. And that's at St.
Rayfield's
and Crystal.
Starting doors open at 5:30.
5:30, and then all tomorrow on Saturday. And if you're listening to this Sunday, it was yesterday. Just dream back about it. But but we hope you fill up the place.
Oh, I'm sure we will. It's going to be a great event.
And everything about family and marriage on the Archdiocesan website, it's there?
Absolutely. It is. www.archspm.org.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Paul Sadek, we've got a lot happening in the Twin Cities.
Indeed we do. Dr. Peter Damgaard Hansen, a noted marriage and family therapist who specializes in integrative counseling, will be speaking at three parish events. Monday, April 13th, 7 p.m., Mary, Mother of the Church in Burnsville. Thursday, April 16th, 7 p.m., Nativity of Our Lord, St. Paul. Sunday, April 19th, 11:30 a.m. at St. Patrick's in Invergrove Heights. For more information, go to the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org. Click the link for the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, or call Sonia 651-291-4488, 651-291-4488.
Our Lady of the Prairie Council of Catholic Women is sponsoring a community clothing swap on Saturday, April 18th at Our Lady of the Prairie in Belle Plaine. Donate your gently used men's, women's, and children's clothing and shop for $1 per bag. All proceeds go to benefit the Belle Plaine Good Samaritan Fund to help those in need. For more information, contact Lori at 952-873-3942. That's 952-873-3942, or visit OurLadyOfThePrairie.com.
A Rachel's Vineyard retreat will be held for women recovering from abortion on the weekend of May 8th through the 10th. For more information, call 763-250-9313. That's 763-250-9313.
The St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity will be holding Solemn Vespers and a Bach concert on Sunday, April 19th at 7 p.m. at St. Mary's Chapel on the seminary campus, featuring the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity Chorale, the UST Schola Cantorum, and the Beacon Hill Brass. This event is free and open to the public. For more information, call 651-962-5050, 651-962-5050.
St. Paul Seminary also invites everyone to their play production of Death of a Liturgist, a comical murder mystery written by Lorraine Murray, adapted by seminarian Andy Thuringer. The play is being performed at the BEC Auditorium near the seminary. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, April 24th and 25th, 7:30 p.m., Sunday the 26th at 2 p.m. Free tickets are available at spstheater.org. That's spstheater.org.
And this year marks the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide on Saturday, April 18th at 3 p.m., the Cathedral of St. Paul will host an ecumenical prayer service with the Armenian Orthodox community.
And what's coming up on the Rediscover Hour?
Coming up on next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to be talking about mercy, as Pope Francis recently named the next holy year as a Jubilee of Mercy starting December 8th. So we're going to take a look at mercy, revisit the divine mercy with Vicki Kippers, one of the greatest recordings in America today. Thank you for listening to the Rediscover Hour, and we pray that something we said today will be of great benefit to you, and we look forward to you joining us next time as we talk about mercy and the great year that's coming up before us. Share it with your friends. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.